everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing in life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. That's true. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can learn more about Author Magazine at authormagazine.org, and we are funded by the good people at the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. We're going to be having the dynamic Damon Swade in to teach a 2-day workshop on story. You're going to want to be a part of that. It's going to be a limited number of people can attend in person, and the rest can be virtual. Check it out, pnwa.org. You won't regret it. Had a fascinating conversation with today's guest, Becky Charlson. She's a debut novelist. She is also a TV film development executive at the production company Sunday Night. She's a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania and now lives in New York City. She's a quadruplet and married to her high school sweetheart, who's also an identical twin, and whose family spent summers on Fire Island for more than 3 decades. Kismet is her first novel. The book takes place on Fire Island. It's about twins and high school sweethearts. There's a lot of crossover. But we had a great conversation about sort of how working in television and film prepared her for novel writing, and a little bit about being one of 4 quadruplets and Kismet itself, and how happy she is to have written her first novel. Really great person Becky is, and it was a fun conversation, and I'm glad I get to share it with you now. Enjoy. Well, we've got debut author Becky Charlson on the show. Becky, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
I'm doing great. You got to be feeling pretty good. You got your debut novel, like I said, Kismet, came out. I was just checking with you. It was April 18th, you said?
April 18th. Yes, it's out in the world.
Yeah, so this baby got popped about 3 weeks ago. And,
yes.
You know, you work in television, yeah, yes. Still.
Yes, I work in development, film, TV development at a production company. Okay. Lots of reading.
Lots of reading. Oh, so you read scripts.
Yes, I read scripts and I read books. A lot of books for book scouting for film, TV development. Scripts, pitches, always sort of been very involved in that. Everything that happens before they get to set, basically, that sort of process.
Interesting. I once worked as a intern for Roger Corman's Concord Films. Roger Corman was the king of the B movie.
Yeah.
And I read scripts. So I was reading the scripts that coverage. He didn't want to make, if you can imagine.
That's so funny. Yeah. That was wild.
That was intense. It was some beginning level writing being sent our way. But okay. Yep. But the reason I mention it, Becky, is even though it's very different and your job is very different than writing novels, you are a part of putting something out into the world. You are familiar with it. So how does the experience in your work, working at a production company, which acquires and produces things, and then I assume you at some point turn on Netflix or something, and there's a thing you were a part of.
Totally.
How does that compare to the novel? Did one prepare you for the other?
Yeah, that's so funny. I thought because I had worked in film and development and production first that I would have a lot more thick skin about the book coming out and that I wouldn't care. And I've seen, you know, our producers reading reviews and sort of handling it so tough. And I thought I would be the same way for the book. And my agents were like, don't check Goodreads. I can handle it. I worked in Hollywood. Like, people screamed at me all day long. And no, there is something so vulnerable and different about the publishing experience. I think probably because in film and television, there's just more hands involved.
That's
in the
right.
Shows. A lot that we work on are either IPs or there it's a huge crew, and there's, you know, my name will be on it, but at the end of the credits, along with hundreds and hundreds of other people. Whereas in the books, it's just your own name on the cover, no matter what. And it's very strange, and it feels very, my debut novel is very personal to me. Like, it's 100% fiction, but inspired by places I love, and the names are people that I love, and some of the characteristics of the characters are similar to my own. And so it's been a very strange feeling of having people sort of feel like they had a conversation with me that I wasn't a part of
See,
after they read
I love
the
that. See, this is here. I'm gonna now. I'm gonna give you. You don't need it. But I'm gonna give you advice anyway. But how to
Yay, thanks.
my take on it,
I
which
want
is
it
that
all.
I am firm believer that book writers should stop reading reviews of any kind, theirs or other people's even, because it puts you in a headspace you don't want to be in. And my wife, who's also writes, she said it perfectly. She said a review is someone's description of an experience. It's got nothing to do with, right? So it's like they had this experience. What did they eat that day? What have they lived?
Who'd they
What,
talk to?
you know, what do they care about? What are they frustrated by? And it's got nothing. And even when they love your book, Becky, it's got nothing to do with you even then.
You're
That's
right.
the weird part. You can't really say because it's so much about them. So I would just
Yeah.
say, stay away from it. It's, you know, it
That's a
is
beautiful
no good will
idea.
come of it.
Yeah, because it's such a personal
Oh.
experience in the consumption, which is the whole point. Like, it goes from sort
Yes.
of being this like art form and like very cathartic process for the author into then you're right, something that either people are coming to for escapism or their own enjoyment on a rainy day or a sunny day,
Yeah.
and you can't control that. I've always for the ever since I started working in film and even before, so I've been at this company for 5 years. Before that, I worked at WME, which is a talent agency, and I was in the book
Oh.
to film department in
Oh,
LA.
okay. Oh, all
It
right.
was really fun. But I've always sort of been involved in a creative field.
Sure.
And from early on, my bosses were like, you very careful about like giving that. Oh, of course, having like constructive feedback on scripts of our projects, but when it comes to watching the movies, like we never say a negative thing about really if we can help it about other art forms. Because when you're making a movie and you see how many hundreds of people put
Oh.
hundreds of hours into this, and nothing is made easily. And I feel like I've taken that to heart, especially with books now too, where I when you know it's sometimes it just you just want to be like, it's so hard. People
Well,
spend so
that's,
much time
well, of
on this. Like,
course.
think about it that way, you know.
It takes so much time and attention and caring to make something that doesn't work. Like or that I might hate. I've watched things and I'm thought, God, I wish this thing weren't made, but look at all the care these people, they wanted to make it. And I can't sit there and say, don't make it. You know, it's, I just can't. I don't know
Exactly
how
it.
critics do it. I don't know
I
how they like
know.
for a living.
I know.
All right, so
Absolutely.
but you're in the film, you're in the development part. So you read scripts and books and do you have a feeling for what can be translated into the screen? Because it's a the screen is a different medium. Really different
Totally.
medium than the page. And so, is there
Yeah.
certain things you're looking for in that?
We always look for interesting characters and people that
Yeah.
you can kind of plop out and then put into a new world. I had an author friend once tell me that her agent actually had phrased that to her, that when they option your book, they're not optioning your book, they're just optioning your characters, and they can change
Right.
where they put them. Because for us too, when we look at projects, it's really with an eye towards what you can add by telling it on the screen. We sort of avert any one-to-one strict adaptation is frankly a little less
Right.
interesting to us, because we're, you know, if it exists as a book and it's an amazing book, then it's a great book. Like, why does it need to be a movie or a TV show? And so we ask ourselves, what are things that either are maybe sensed in the book that you could only heighten on screen, or a kernel you can take from something and turn it on its ear, or show us a new world, or play
Right.
with time in some way, or frankly have fun with it. And that's why I love having my hands in both the film TV process, the book to film process, and then also in publishing. Like, my book, we haven't sold the film rights yet. I always
You
joke, like,
will. You
I don't
will.
know. What I loved writing about it was that I didn't think about it as a movie or a
Good.
TV show, and I thought about it just as a book. And I think when people try to write books with an eye towards film, sometimes you lose the heart of what makes, like, you know, you have to write the book first. And so
This
I use
thing.
diary entries, which are not good things for film and TV
Terrible.
development.
Yeah, and
I
also
use a lot of flashbacks.
I remember I did sketch comedy in theater. I was writing it and performing it. And then I thought I'd be a Hollywood guy. And so I started writing screenplays. And the first thing I realized is, oh, dialogue in a screenplay and dialogue in a play. Oh, you have to cut out like 90% of
It's
what.
crazy.
And then you can go back to fiction. And if you want to let them talk, you can let them talk and fiction. Like it, I mean, as long as it's served, but you can certainly let them talk and you can do interiors. You can do so much.
Oh my
Whereas in
gosh.
like movies, just show me, show me, show me, show me, shut up and show me,
Yeah, I
right?
was just having that conversation with some. I meet with a lot of screenwriters for work, and I'll talk to them about writing the books. And I am always so in awe of screenwriters because of that real focus on attention to word choice. And you can't really play around. And it's much harder, I think, to find things on the page in screenwriting than it is in books. But another producer had asked me, like, if I read books or scripts faster, and I can read books, especially for work when we're sort of skimming just to see if it's something that we'd be interested in adapting, so much faster. But in screenplays, by definition, like, you can't really skim because every word is so important. And if you miss one sentence, if it's well written, then, you know, everything sort of hinges on the next part. And so I had fun writing the book because I was able to sort of take up space in a way that a lot of our feature projects aren't always able to do.
That's great. Okay, so enough about television. We're here to talk about books.
Move over.
We're talking about books. And so you go and you're, look, so a couple things. You graduated from UPenn in like English and history or something?
Yes.
Right, okay. So you're a girl, you've been reading, you had your nose in a book when you were young.
Always.
Right, okay.
Definitely.
Right, so you get to read for a living now. That's great. And so, but were you always interested in telling stories, or did that come a little later?
Yeah, and the answer is no. I never ever thought of myself as a writer other than a good email or a good college application essay.
Wow.
My sisters and I wrote all my sisters' college essays, and I always loved school papers, but I really thought that was the it. My older brother is a screenwriter. So we have one older brother, and then my sisters and I are quadruplets and all girls. And so it's been a very strange.
Right. So I just want to pause there. For our listeners, we're going to talk about this, but she is one of, I think I dreamt about you in a way, knowing this interview, because I had a dream. We're in it last night. So Becky is one of four. She's a quadruplet. I had a dream where a woman had 18 children. In one shot to 18 children. And I must have been preparing myself for you. Okay, so you are one of four.
I have to laugh at that because my husband is an identical twin. And we just turned 30 and we're like beginning to talk about like, oh, like, should we have kids? Like, do we want a family? And we're so afraid that we'll have eight
Boom,
children.
You explode. It's like some it's kind of exponential.
Risk. We have to be so ready because it's one or it's 20. And like, we're not going to know.
Okay, so... Your older brother?
Yeah. So my older brother is a writer.
He's a screenwriter.
He's a screenwriter, and he always wanted to write. Like, he had the poster boards in his room with note cards and story ideas, and was making plays for us to act in. And I never felt like I had that itch. I loved always development and like helping other people tell their story in college. I loved my screenwriting class that I took because I loved the like round table exercise of seeing what somebody wanted to do, but being able to help them get there and sort of being able to look at something from a new way.
Okay.
So that's why I quickly knew I wanted to work in development. And then it wasn't until COVID that I decided to write a book because I had this free time. We were very privileged that my husband and I both had stable jobs and we weren't immunocompromised and we weren't, you know, essential workers. We just were home. And he had, by chance, in May 2020, started this Saturday MBA program at Columbia. It always was his plan to start this in May 2020 based on when like his GMAT score expired. Like, our whole life was like, Zach will go to business school on Saturdays in May 2020. And then of course it was COVID, so his classes were remote. And so he was home from like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on his computer on Saturdays. And by June, I was like, I could use this time to either be like, I was like, maybe I'll get my MBA and take his classes. And I listened to like 11 minutes of statistics. It's like, I have to get out of here. That was not for me. And then I was like, I could, you know, in development, there's always more scripts to read, always books to flag and scout for the team. But I was like, I could maybe use this time to try and write my own book and just see what it would feel like and if I would enjoy it.
But wait. And, but where did that, but there had to have been a notion before.
I know.
Right.
I know. It's like, it's so funny because when you think about it, my old boss at WME, her name was Jennifer Rudolph Wall. She's an amazing book agent. And she has all these theories of like the breadcrumbs of your life and looking backwards and finding points of purpose. And I've been doing a lot of reflection as the book has come out. And there's a few moments where, you know, like I took a screenwriting class my senior year in college because I knew I wanted to work in film and everybody had to write like a short film together. And I love like group work projects. And so I actually won like the best screenplay award in that class for this like short film I wrote. And my teacher at the time, I had already accepted a job at WME when I graduate for when I graduated, thinking I would be actually like a book to film agent.
Sure.
And my teacher was like, Becky, like you shouldn't be at the agency. Like you should be the client. Like you should be the writer that they're representing. And I was like,
All
you're
right.
crazy. Like I'm never gonna write. Like that's just so, I just didn't see myself being on that side of the equation. And then I think there is something too that I always flag is because I've always read early drafts of manuscripts for work. Like when you read for film, you read basically before the editor reads it, you read it right as it's sold. And so I think I was less intimidated because I don't read only the very like fancy finished projects that you get at a bookstore. Like I
So
read
you're used
drafts
to
that have
seeing
typos and sort of
the Word
messy.
document, essentially.
Yes, exactly. The Word doc always. I read a lot of very first drafts. And a lot of first drafts of screenplays, and you see the behind the scenes of like it doesn't have to be perfect those first couple of times. It just needs to be the idea. And so I think because I was less intimidated, was very familiar with the process, I have friends who are writers and are publishing agents. And so I sort of knew the language that I think a lot of the barriers to entry that a lot of people rightfully have or could feel intimidated by, I just luckily, because of the career path I had chosen, didn't have and didn't quite feel so intimidated
So
by. And
interesting.
so I just jumped in and then I loved it. And now it's the issue is that I love writing also. And I've discovered
Yes.
this whole second job and you're like,
No,
where's the
this is
time
good.
going?
It's nice because you have a job that you can keep working. I always tell my clients,
Totally.
I coach clients, I'm like, don't quit the day job just yet.
Yeah.
But let
Right.
yourself, because you don't want to kill the dream. Nice you have a husband who can or partner
Oh,
or
yes.
provide something to, so a little back and forth. But this is
Totally.
great. But you start writing, and so you but you draw upon your own life because so you're a quadruplet. One of a quadruplet. Your husband is one of twins, and you married each
Yes.
other. And so so your characters said, "I'm going to make them." I don't know if you chose this. I don't know if it was like you just started writing and said, "Oh, it turns out she's a twin." But what the female? She's a triplet, right? And
The girl in the book, Kismet, is she's a twin. And at
she's a
first I
twin,
thought I'd
right?
tried to write quadruplets because I
Right.
was like, oh, write what you know.
Sure.
And it was so many characters. So I cut them back down, made them twins instead. But
Yeah.
I did make Amy is the main character in Kismet. And I had her, she's married to her high school sweetheart, Ben. And in real life, I am also married to my high school
Okay,
sweetheart, Zach. And so I
excuse me.
picked and ch chose little details from life that I felt like I could sort of speak to. And that, and the in Kismet too, I really want to tell this story about what happens after you fall in love. For me, like my husband and I fell in love when we were 18 years old, like seniors in high school. And so everything that came from there was a lot of communication and a lot of really, seeing new opportunities and actively choosing to stay together, to grow together between Zach and my sisters. We're so different now at 30 than we were at 21,
I hope
but
so.
we've stayed best, right? Exactly. Even when we look around, we're like, we like aged well, but we laugh because it's rare, I think, to be able to grow with so many people all at the same time and still stay so close. And we do that through communication and through really prioritizing our relationships. And so it's been sort of wonderful to explore that in a novel and show these characters who have strange, very long-term, very inherent relationships, but the doubts that still can come and the challenges that can still come. And I wanted to explore that in a romance novel that was maybe a little less expect in a less expected way.
Well, and so you knew you wanted to have romantic elements to it. You didn't want to write a suspense. You didn't want to write science fiction.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different things you can write, of
I
course.
know. I actually started writing a thriller. That was the first project I started working on in like May 2020. And it was so hard. I was so depressed while I was working on it because I'd work during the week and then it was COVID and the world was already uncertain. And then I would work on this like dark, culty thriller and it was so not working. And I all of a sudden, it wasn't until June 2020 when we are going actually to Fire Island. The book is called Kismet because
I
of the
can't
name of the
believe it's set
town. It
on
takes
Fire
place
Island because I
on
grew
Fire
up
Island. Wow.
near,
What
not on
town?
fire, but I knew a Fire Island, and it had a
Oh
very
my gosh.
particular reputation that had nothing to do with twins getting
I
married. It was
know.
really
It's so,
specific.
that's so funny. Fire Island is so big and there's 17 different towns. And so the Pines is a very popular town. And that's like the Bo and Yang movie that came out last year called Fire Island is set in that town. There's a bunch of Ocean Beach is one town where a lot of like post grads go and just party. And
I see.
Kismet is much more family oriented. And it's a lot of just, and my husband's family has my in-laws have had a house there for like 25 years. His parents met in Fire Island when they were kids and like
All
young
right.
and in love. And it's really a magical place. And so I've been going, luckily, for like over 12 years with my husband. And
Right.
so I knew that summer I had been working on this thriller, trying to write a book, struggling to get, figure out this dark, twisted story idea. And then we were on the ferry. The best part about Fire Island is that you can only get there by taking a ferry. So
Sure,
there's no
sure.
cars. And so the rule, it feels like a different
Just nope.
space.
It doesn't have a car ferry. It's just
No car ferry.
bikes and
Ferries,
people walking around.
bikes, and yeah,
What?
bikes, and everyone's in a bikini and just like walking
Wow. Oh, I didn't know
around. And
that. Okay.
that's what makes it so magical. And it's very small. The whole town is maybe 5 blocks, and from the
Oh.
bay where the ferry gets in, and then the ocean. And so there's all these different. There's houses, there's restaurants, the bands come, they take the ferry out and they play on Saturday nights. And
Wow.
there's something so magical to it. And so when we were on the ferry, June 2020, the first page of Kismet sort of like popped in my head. And I realized, like, oh, okay, this is the book. And it's a family drama and it's a love story and it's about a wedding weekend. We had got married in fall 2019. So I was still sort of on the come down of the
Right.
wedding drama, the
Sure.
process that involved with planning. And so from there, it was much easier to kind of figure out the story I wanted to tell, which what it turned into is this sort of a cross between women's fiction and contemporary romance. And
And
yeah, it's a love story.
it was like built in a factory for a beach read. It was like, I know you
Exactly.
didn't intend it that, but I was like, it was funny because when I was sent the information on it without knowing, I just thought, wow, this sure looks like a beach read to me. And they just were like, yes.
Oh,
We
yes.
want you to know that if you go to the beach with a book in your bag, this is the one you need in it.
This is
And
it. That covers the beach. There's a lighthouse, the
yeah.
sun setting. And I love beach reads. And at work, our taste skews a little bit more towards action and horror and grounded sci-fi. And so I think what really helped me be able to keep writing the book was that it was so different from what I did
Yeah.
during the day, that it was this different hat I could wear. And it always stayed really fun because it feels
Good.
like my writing definitely feels like a hobby in how much I enjoy it and how much escape it feels. It's been amazing to have it become this second career that I take very seriously. It's such a
So
privilege to, but it's so fun to work on.
that's good. And listen, here's the thing. The key, I think, to writing is that you have fun. I always tell my clients, and it's hard because a lot of them are adults and they've been taught to like just work and like, do the hard stuff and fix the radiator and cook the dinner, even though you don't want like all this, like that's like the domestic business of life. But it's like writing, it's working when you're enjoying yourself. Like that is the formula. And I think it's a little hard for you're I know you don't feel young, but in the writing world, you're still on the younger side, I'll just say. That and you're still close enough to your youth, your real youth, where you were just trying to have fun, where it was like that was the goal. I do think it's that that's the way you know, even though you will struggle, you can't find the middle and all that kind of crap. But it should be that when it clicks, it's exciting, it's fun, and I like don't lose it. Like that's what makes this the best job in the world if you like doing it.
No, that's it's so always so important to hear. And I'm working on my second book now. And
Good.
yesterday I was this past weekend, and we're talking on a Monday. The past weekend I'm in my edits, and it was the sort of weekend where I locked the door and didn't talk to anybody. I didn't go
Yep.
outside because I had this deadline and I have to finish it. And I remember thinking so many times, like, God, it would be so much easier to not write a book. Like, nobody is forcing me to write this book. And yet it's so much fun when you're in it and when you have those moments that click. And it's that real appreciation that I'm able to do this. Like, I'm not, we're at a moment in time where I don't have a lot of other responsibilities. I don't have any kids. My parents are healthy. And so it's hard because, of course, you get invited to like a Kentucky Derby party and you're like, well, I can't go because I'm choosing for this book that may or may not exist, that someone might read and someone might hate, but someone might love. And that's like what sort of makes it all worth it.
You know what though? Kentucky Derby parties are fun, and we need a certain amount of those in our life. But there is something that you gain when you're working alone, but not alone. When
Yeah.
you're the store, when the characters are, whatever, however you
They're
write,
with you.
it's so gratifying, and there's such a sense of, I don't want to say achievement, but just deep satisfaction when you're like, that's it. That's it. That
Totally.
reads the way I want a chapter to read. I think it's as good as it gets, quite frankly.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's when my family makes fun of me because I live by this silly motto I saw on an Instagram meme once that was like, self-care is self-discipline. And I use that only
It's
because,
true.
especially for writing, like I love writing a book because it's so much fun, but it really is just hours and see. Like
Yes.
the Saturdays of choosing to write, and because of the way I scheduled this sort of novel career, I only can write on weekends because I have a full-time job. And so it's whether you want to write or not, whether the words are coming, like you have no choice because the next day you have to go to work and you can't think about it again for 6 more days. So you better get the words in, or at least think about the words, go for the walk, have the notepad open all the time, play music that reminds you of the book, all of the things. But then you only have this sort of set time. There's
Yeah.
really that discipline that comes. And I do feel very proud of myself for being able to kind of always prioritize my writing days
You
for as
should.
long as I can.
You should. And what's clear is that, and I'm writing a book about this very challenge that writers have around procrastination. But what it sounds like is you, and you probably have done this all intuitively, so I don't want to mess up by talking too much about it, but there is a shift we have to make from our kind of domestic frame of mind where we're interacting with the world to the writing frame of mind where we're not interacting with anything but the imagination. And you can't be
Totally.
scared of that. You have to be willing to make the transition and not feel like a failure if nothing's coming right away. And it sounds like, even though it's
Totally.
not always easy, you have accepted that part of the job and don't let it freak you out. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's so true. And I think too, I'm very lucky to be surrounded by such kind friends and family who are so
No,
supportive of it
you're
too.
not lucky. You're not lucky. They're there because of
You
who you
sense it.
are, because you're a nice
Yes, you're
person and
right.
you choose good people. And the good people want to hang. If you were a pain in the ass, they wouldn't want to hang around with you.
That is
So,
very
no, you're
fair.
not lucky. You're just a good person.
I surround myself with good people. And then
Yeah.
this is the moments when you can look back and like you have the friends who make allowances if you're missing out on, like I
Right.
always used to be the person that I never left early. I was there all the time. And that was sort of not a crisis, but definitely a realization I had earlier this year where my workload was just getting a little out of control
Yeah.
and I missed a few birthday parties. And I remember just feeling grateful that I had sort of built people who were never going to hold it against me. And in those relationships, everybody in my life right now is so proud of the book, so proud of like the
That's
future
nice.
book career. And they're very much a team, like we'll be here when you're ready to like resurface. And it just makes you feel really just fortunate to be surrounded. So that's
Absolutely.
it, the discipline, and then also the network of people being like, all right, Becky, we got your back. Like we'll
Ah.
handle Mother's Day presents this year. Like you write your book.
That
Thank you.
is awesome. Well, those are good sisters, I assume you're talking about in
Yes.
part.
Oh, the sisters are the best.
So look at picture. Can you picture in your mind the day when you wake up on a Tuesday? You don't go into that office. You just go across the hall to the little office you've got with your computer, because that's all you're doing. Could you
I
do it? Could
know.
you not? Would you miss being in an office with other people, or would you be fine with just me and my characters and my agent and my husband? And
I would miss it. I think, and it's so funny,
oh.
people always ask me, and I really want to do both for as long as humanly possible because I think writing has made me a stronger development exec, and working as a development exec has made me a stronger writer. I
All
love
right.
having my finger on the pulse of like what's being sold and who is who. Like, and I love getting to meet with writers for work and then getting to meet with other authors as sort of these like faux colleagues in the business. And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could give up either.
Oh.
I want them all. I'm very
Oh,
selfish. I want
interesting.
both
All
jobs.
right.
I
All right.
know it's so
Wow.
interesting, right?
All right.
Maybe one day I
I
allow
don't
myself the
listen.
opportunity to change my mind.
You may have, I don't know. You may have children, you may not. I don't know. It's up to you.
Exactly. That's
That
if
does
when I have
that.
my octuplets, I might have to quit one of the
Oh,
jobs,
that's right. I
but we'll
forgot you
see.
guys. Yeah, that gums up the works, I can tell you.
Yeah, I can't think that
But
far
they're
ahead.
great. I love them. But yeesh, good Lord, they take some
Yeah,
time.
I'm afraid.
Well, Becky, you're a delight. I'm so
Oh,
happy
thank you
for you
so.
that you've. I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad to see the face of the production side is so friendly. And such as a bright light, and not the, sometimes when I think of that end of the entertainment
I
industry, it's
know,
not my
right?
favorite part because I'm just purely content, and they can
We're
be the
good on both
problem. But look
sides.
at you, you're
I
great.
know. Thank you. That's so sweet.
That's
Appreciate
right. And
it.
so, Kismet, it's out where all fine books are sold. My mother, you got, oh, my mother, I think she's got to read this book because all the people who blurbed it are all the people I've interviewed and all the people she loved reading. I was like, oh, that one and that one and that one. And
All our
so
friends.
are these friends of yours or just people you've met through
Some
the
are. I've
some?
met some through, I mean, I'm. I am the kind of person who, like, if you post on Instagram, I'm responding to your story as if we are best friends and you post it just
Oh.
to me. Like, I just love connections and friendship. And so, in the best part about selling the book and being on this debut roller
Now you're
coaster
hearing
has been
from
meeting
them.
so many authors. I know, and I love them, and I love getting the messages from people and all of it. But I'm very grateful to say that most of the authors who blurbed Kismet have become like close friends now,
That's
and it's just a
great.
dream. And I like
That's
look at my
great.
phone and I'm like, these are authors, and they're texting me like, how the hell did I get here? Pinching myself. It's amazing.
Welcome to the frantic, obsessive,
Yes,
self-flagellating
great.
club that you're now a
I
part of.
love it. It's
All right, this is great.
crazy.
I'm not quite done with you though,
Yes.
Becky. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the writing you've done. It's not been a ton so far, but it's enough. And if it's taught you anything, just about yourself and life, if it's taught you anything, it's taught you what?
Oof. I think patience with myself and with others and even with your characters when you put them through the ringer, and patience, and then also sort of strength of what your characters can hold and also what we can do. Like, it's just, I'm so mind blown by the fact that I wrote a book and have gone through this process. And so I think it's sort of, yeah, like having patience with myself, trusting that I have the strength to do these crazy dreams, but also not planning too far ahead, which is funny as someone who outlines her books religiously. But I think as something I'm always teaching my characters is not to get too stressed out by the details and to let destiny sort of take the way, which is really a lesson for myself often of that there's an expression that a former boss always used to say too, of jump and the net will appear. And that's the
Oh.
exact way, mess the sort of thing I live my life by now too, because before COVID, I never would have thought I would have written a book. And now, almost a little over 3 years later, it's a whole new life, and it's just crazy. But I couldn't have planned. So that was like five answers to your question, but
I like it.
yeah.
Lot of pearls in there. A lot of pearls in there. Listen, just keep jumping.
Yes,
Every
jump in,
writer
the net
learns
will
the net.
appear.
You're not in charge of the net. Don't be in charge
Yes.
of the net. It won't be there if you think you are.
You don't want to be in charge of
No, you
it.
don't. You really don't. You really don't. This is good stuff. Thank you, Becky. This was awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill. It was so nice to meet you.
Jump and the net will appear. Don't you like that? I think I've heard it before. I like it. I like it. I'll tell you, it's how you live your life, I think. And she's an outliner, and she lives her life that way, right? And so why not? Listen, I want to thank my producer, RJ Jeffries. Yes, I do. Thank you, my friend. I want to thank all of you for listening. And so listen, go find something you love to do. Go find something you love to do and just jump. The net, people, the net is love.